Hello, Canadian television nerds. My name is Greg David, and welcome to TV ABC's, where we have conversations about Canadian television before cameras, before cuts, before channels, and explore how the people behind your favorite shows are being creative. This week, a conversation with Jordan Canning. Jordan Canning was born and raised in St. John's, Newfoundland. She has been exposed to the world of filmmaking from a very young age through her mother, who worked as a production designer. Jordan's television credits include directing all 23 episodes of the CTV digital series Space Riders Division Earth. The show won the 2014 Canadian Screen Award for Best Digital Series and 4 Canadian Comedy Awards, including Best Director. She's also directed on multiple TV series, including hour-long dramas Saving Hope, The Detail, Burden of Truth, and half-hour comedies Baroness Von Sketch Show, Schitt's Creek, This Hour is 22 Minutes, and Little Dog. We'll hear all about this and more in my conversation with Jordan Canning. So, Jordan, thank you so much for taking the time. I speak to a lot of people in the Canadian television industry, and I think there's a lot of fascination behind what you do. You're a director. I think there's a lot of mystique behind the job. So I thank you for taking the time to talk to me, because I'm gonna grill you on all the magic that goes on behind the camera.
Well, I can't wait. Thanks for having me.
Now, I know a little bit about your origin story. You're from Newfoundland. Your mom was a production designer, so you grew up on movie sets. But did you ever have an inkling about doing something else? Did you go to school for something else, and then you ended up coming into this industry? How did it work for you?
So my mom is a production designer. So yeah, I was around it, but not in a really intensive way. And no, I didn't go to film school. I remember thinking, I'm going to do acting and biology. That was in high school what I thought I would do in college. Then yeah. I took a creative writing class and realized, no, this is actually what I want to do. So, I went to school in Montreal. I went to Concordia and I did creative writing and a sociology, anthropology degree. So I did that. And after I graduated, I moved back to St. John's and I didn't really know what I was going to do. I did a couple of sort of odd jobs, kind of thought, oh, I'm going to go back to school, or I'm going to do journalism or new media or something. But then I got a job at a production company in St. John's doing some writing for them. And then eventually I started doing some directing on this docudrama ghost stories show called Legends and Lore of the North Atlantic.
Ooh.
It was very fun. A lot of ghost ships, a lot of, some rum running. It was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Gordon Pinsent was the host, so, you know.
Excellent.
I was writing for that, and I got to start directing some of the reenactments, which was pretty fun. And kind of at the same time, I was still writing, and I was doing a lot of photography, and I started, I looked into this program through our local film co-op, NIFCO. And they had a first-time filmmakers program. And you basically anybody could apply with a short script, and that was relatively doable. And they would hook you up with a mentor and a volunteer crew and sort of help you from start to finish make your first short film.
Okay.
And so, I'd been directing. I'd sort of been working a bit, and I was like, I kind of want to try this and see what it's like to direct my own thing. And so, yeah, I made my first short through that program, and just like, one of those moments where you're like, oh, this is what I want to do with my life. And just kind of got hooked on the whole process of it. So it was, from that point, I just wanted to focus on making more films.
So you didn't go to film school, although you did have experience in film because you took the course. Do you think that, that works best for people now? I mean, I guess it just depends on the individual, whether you should be going to a film school, or whether you should be just kind of learning on your own with an iPhone, because there's so many ways of learning how to do the craft, isn't there?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I made up for it. I think I felt like I really needed to sort of dig in. And so my version of film school was to make a lot of short films.
Yeah.
and, you know, just try to, you know, to learn, to try to figure out what my sort of voice was and to just get better and more experience just by making more and more work. You know, I'm going to film school looks really fun and awesome too. So I don't think there's like definitely like a right way to do it, but, certainly, you know, the more time you have on set making, actually making a film, whether that's in a film school setting or in, you know, paying with your credit card to do it,
right.
You know, that's how you get good at this.
It's interesting. Before we set up this interview or this podcast recording, I'd seen Suck It Up. It's on Super Channel, and it's in pretty heavy rotation. So I've
is it?
Cool. Yes,
I don't have Super Channel.
Well, pay that extra $7 or whatever it is. Yeah, a great movie, and I'm actually finding that Super Channel is the place to go for Canadian films that you know I didn't get a chance to see in the movie theater. It's really a treasure trove of stuff.
Yeah, and now Crave Plus is very
yes.
sweet too, because all of them, the TMN movies are. I know we were on the Movie Network, and now all of those films are now on the Crave platform as well. If you pay the extra $9 a month or whatever, so yeah, it is. It's great. It's very you know, we're in good company. Lots of really fantastic indie Canadian films have come out in the last few years, and they're now very accessible in a way that, you know, my first feature was not. You know, you could see it on, you could rent it on iTunes, and that was about it.
Right, right. One of your credits on your IMDb page, so if the IMDb, if it's wrong, it's we blame it on IMDb, was this hour, this hour has 22 minutes. How did that, what was that experience like? You know, it's, it's sketch, obviously, a little bit different from the work that you had done prior to that. So what did that teach you? What muscles did you get to flex as a director working on that show?
Yeah, well, 22 Minutes and Saving Hope were like my first two TV experiences, and they kind of happened one after the other. So I think I did Saving Hope first, and then like a month later I did 22 Minutes. Very different experiences, obviously, because
sure.
Saving Hope was like a, you know, doctor ghost show.
Yeah.
Ghosts, something about ghosts.
Ghosts. What is it about you and ghosts?
I don't know. They're fun. 22 Minutes was so much fun. I mean, for a million reasons, it holds a very dear place in my heart because it's where I met the love of my life. Mm-hmm. So we're, 22 Minutes was a great experience. It's so fun working in comedy and a show like that where you have like, you know, it's been around for 20, I think it was the 24th season that I worked on.
Wow. Yeah.
And, so they really, the machine runs very efficiently on the show. So in a lot of ways, it wasn't super stressful. It was a really welcoming and fun environment to be a part of and to just kind of drop into. It was great. I love sketch. I mean, I'm good, really good friends with Sue Kent and Meredith McNeil, mm-hmm. who were both on the show at the time. So it was also just like getting to hang out with them
right.
every day was just a dream.
So let's move to a couple of shows. I think I've watched everything that you are credited with directing. But I wanted to ask about a show like, let's take a look at Burden of Truth. Let's take a look at Burden of Truth, for instance.
Sure.
When you go on to a show like that, I'm always fascinated with the relationship between the director and the showrunner. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know what, let's use Schitt's Creek as a better example, because actually one day when I was there, actually, when you were filming an episode it wasn't Schitt's Creek. It was, I think it was Baroness. I'm jumping all over the place.
Hey, that's
all
okay.
Right, let's use Little Dog as the example. Let's use Sherry as an example. You're
great.
Coming into a show where there's a showrunner who has a vision, mm-hmm. whether it's Joel and Sherry, and then you're coming in, though, with a vision as a director. So how does that relationship work? I'm fascinated mm-hmm. because you've got a vision, too, because you're an artist and you're working – you're the director. So how does that work?
Well, I mean, you know, when you're hired to do an episode of TV, like, it's not like they want you to reinvent the wheel. The show has been established with a certain, you know, at the very least, like, they have their style and their tone, mm-hmm. established. And so it is part of your job as a television episodic director to be able to work within the world that they've already created. You know, there's, you're not supposed to come in and sort of like burn everything to the ground and rebuild it in your own image.
Right.
It's really more of a question of finding your way into it and finding a way to bring your voice and leave your mark on the episode, while still, you know, retaining the shape and the style of the show that's been established long before you ever got there. It's totally different than making your own feature where mm-hmm. you're just like living and breathing every single aspect of it.
Yeah.
But I love working with lots of people. So I love having a great creative showrunner and like the writers around so that you can, you know, that there's just like a more bubbling electric energy to that because you have all these voices and because, you know, especially if they're really great at their job, like Sherry and Joel are, and they yeah. know this show so well, you get excited and they get excited for you. So it's like, it's like two creative minds are always better than one, I think. So we worked great together. You know, it's also nice to have somebody to bring questions to,
right?
You know, when you're doing your own feature, mm-hmm. especially if you're your own writer, I mean, you have people you can ask questions to, but ultimately it's like, well, you wrote this, yeah. so, you know, you should, yeah. you got to know how to do this. And it's kind of like on you if you don't figure it out or you don't pull it off. So I love having someone that I can go to and be like, hey, this is what I was thinking. And like, what were you thinking? And oh, that's interesting. What if we did this other thing? You know, I think those kind of conversations, whether it's with the showrunner or with your DP or the, you know, production designer, just leads to more exciting ideas coming.
It's interesting because I was just thinking that, you know, a show like Little Dog or Baroness Von Sketch or Burden of Truth, any TV show, you've got a writer's room that's kind of established. You've got the actors and actresses who are signed on. You've got the crew. The only moving piece that it seems like to me is the director. You know, yeah. week to week, you have a new director, or maybe you've got somebody, you know, block shooting and you've got the same director for two episodes. But I find it really interesting that, if anything, you guys are like the gypsies of television and film because you're jumping into these projects. But so must be a learning curve for you, an interesting learning curve, but a learning curve to jump from, say, something like The Detail or Burden of Truth to all of a sudden Baroness Von Sketch and then Schitt's Creek.
Yeah, I mean, if, you know, it is a learning curve, but to me, it's more of a learning curve about getting acclimatized to the new environment, the new people, the new crew, the tone on set.
Yeah.
The tools that I bring to each job as a director are my own, mm-hmm. and I use them and I avail of them as needed. And those are what, you know, that those ultimately the way that is what makes, you know, me the director that I am. That's my directing style. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, I've sort of learned in the last little while, like directing style is only, it's not necessarily anything more than like, what are your strengths as a director? Like how do you act on set? How do you communicate with people? How do you talk to actors? It's like, it's not a brand. It's just your strengths. And so those are, I always draw on those, no matter if it's sketch comedy or a drama or whatever. To me, the challenge and kind of fun challenge is, yeah, being parachuted into something that's been running for, you know, multiple seasons mm-hmm. and you're the new person and you have to like very quickly establish that you're someone that is worth getting behind and that the crew can trust and that the actors can trust. And that you're not going to like blow things up.
Pods, Daniel Gru, directs, he's, you know, directed season one of Cardinal and now, he directed season three of Cardinal, you know, mm-hmm. it's six, still, you know, six episodes each. So 12 episodes total. Is that the kind of gig that a director like yourself longs for, signing on to a show and having that, that director control from beginning to end of a season?
I mean, honestly, yes, I would love that.
Yeah.
I mean, it brings you different things.
Sure.
Like that, you know, in a different mood, that might sound like way too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's fun sometimes to just have like shorter stints, you know, you kind of drop in, you do the best job you can do, and then you're gone. You deliver your director's cut, and you're like, okay, well, Godspeed. I hope that you like it. You don't completely, you know, tear it apart in your final cut.
Right.
But, you know, the side of me that comes from features, yeah, very much longs to be involved in something from the get-go and to put my stamp on it on a, you know, in the development and in the pilot and really help shape those early choices. So that, you know, you can really feel like it is something of your own. Like I just watched I just binged Russian Doll in one day last week. And like, Leslie Headland, who I think she directed maybe like four or five of the episodes, but she did the first, you know, four.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that would be equally exciting to really like set the look and tone of the show and then sort of be, you know, a little more hands off for the back half just to, you know, get some sleep and not completely have a mental breakdown. But yeah, I mean, I'd love to do that. That's definitely a goal of mine, is to develop my own TV show or to, you know, to get involved with something early on and help see the vision through to the end.
You mentioned a few minutes ago about your strengths, but didn't mention what your strengths are. So what do you think your strengths are?
I thought you were going to say what your weaknesses are.
No, we all focus on the positive here.
My strengths. Well, I think my sense of humor gets me, you know, is a very helpful tool. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel at ease talking to people. I feel comfortable. And I think, you know, directing in so many ways comes down to clear communication.
Right.
And being able to navigate different types of personalities, different needs, and also to stay really focused on what you want and what you need. You know, I go into something with a plan, and I know that that plan may shift and change, but I always am able, I feel at least, to give clear, I can make clear decisions and keep the kind of ship on course. And I think that, yeah, I think my decisiveness and my communication and my openness, I guess, and, you know, openness to collaboration. Mm-hmm. I don't know, some of those things.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm pretty fun on set. I like to have a laugh.
How does it work for booking episodes, booking shows? I'm assuming that, you know, you've got an agent and your agent is involved. It would seem like being a director for hire like yourself, can be jumping from project to project to project to project with maybe little or no real rest time in between. Is it that way?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it very much can be. Last year was a year like that for me, where I took January and February off last year to write. Mm. And then I started Schitt's Creek in early March, and I rolled right into Little Dog, and then I rolled right into Baroness Von Sketch. And so I was basically shooting from like March to mid-November. And, you know, I had like 3 weeks off between the two things,
mm-hmm.
but you know, that's a lot of production. That's a lot of time on set, and I survived, but it is a good, you know, I have a bit of a personality tendency to kind of like take on everything. And I'm trying, and I tell my agents this as well, like, don't let me take on everything, because I don't want to get burned out, and I do want to leave time for my own projects and just time for, like, you know, living life,
groceries,
spending time with loved ones, and not, balance is hard. It's hard to when, you know, I find it hard when I'm not working sometimes, because my like sort of, I don't know what it is. This motor kicks in and I'm like, well, you gotta fill your time with stuff, make your lists and do your projects and take on more and more things. And then when I'm shooting, I'm exhausted and I'm like, oh God, if only I had some time off. So it's hard. I find it hard and I struggle with it and I work at it to try to maintain, you know, enough time off from working to have some semblance of a personal life. and to keep time for personal projects. Like, that's very important to me. And I'm trying this year in particular, I've only booked myself from like March to mid June. So that's not bad.
Yeah.
You know, if, even if that's all I do, paid gig wise, mm-hmm. that's okay. And I'll have the rest of the time to, you know, work on my own stuff or who knows.
But it is tough because you also, you know, if you're popular and you're getting those calls, you also don't want to turn down work, right?
No, and yes, you don't want to turn down work and you don't want to like, you know, I guess there is that fear of like, the FOMO of missing out.
Right.
I don't ever really fear, you know, oh, the phone calls will stop
sure.
coming. Like, I know that that's sort of a cliche of like, well, if you, you know, get out of the game, then they'll forget about you. And I don't personally feel that. That strongly. I'm driven more by a desire to like be involved in really exciting projects mm-hmm. and saying yes to things that are exciting to me, you know, because I want to work on them.
Yeah.
So saying no to them is more of a like, oh, that's a bummer. I would have liked to have been involved in that project just creatively and for the experience. But I think, you know, I plan on still working for a very long time. Mm-hmm. I think it's more just like not taking on 14 episodes of TV,
right.
maybe just doing 8.
Yes.
That being enough.
you're involved with, you've been involved by directing episodes of Schitt's Creek, Baroness Von Sketch, and Burden of Truth. And the reason I'm spotlighting those three in particular is because, well, the first two have become huge smash hits down in the U.S. And Burden of Truth airs on E1. E1 is the distributor, so it airs around the world.
Burden of Truth is on the CW now, too. They're building some steam in the U.S.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. You know, that being said, the success of these shows, these Canadian shows in the U.S. and around the world, what's your state of the Canadian TV industry? Is there a confidence there that was there before, you know, a show like Schitt's Creek, like literally blew up in the U.S. within the last year? Do you feel there's a confidence in the Canadian TV industry?
I think there is some of the best Canadian TV happening right now, which is very exciting. I don't think that that has always been the case,
yeah.
you know, and I think that that's not a particularly unique opinion.
Sure.
So I think it's exciting. I think there's, you know, there's, especially in comedy, I think there's some amazing stuff being done here that is, you know, getting Schitt's and Baroness very much deserve all of the praise that they are getting, both in Canada and in the States, because they are amazing shows and they have great writers and great performers, and nobody seems to notice or care that they're from mm-hmm. Made in Canada. In the States, they don't really, I don't think a lot of people even know that they're Canadian, maybe. So I think it's a very exciting time, and I'm extremely proud to be able to work on both of those shows. And I think it is just sort of the beginning. I think that we're hopefully in a bit of a like renaissance,
mm-hmm.
And that this is just, you know, this is just the tip of the iceberg, and that we will see more ambitious projects and shows with a unique perspective that are being made here and that are kind of breaking through into other audiences because they can reach them now on Netflix or on Amazon or whatever, when, you know, we used to just, there wasn't really, unless you got on a huge network, you were never going to see these Canadian
yeah.
shows outside of Canada.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Baroness Von Sketch Show, a show that I love. And I thought that, you know, that everyone's knocked it out of the park from episode one. What's it been like working with those women? And they're just so creative. And not only are some of the skits funny, but they're also thought provoking as well. So what's it been like working mm-hmm. with them?
I mean, it's a dream. They're like some of the smartest, funniest creators I've ever worked with. And they're also just like lovely, hilarious humans. I have loved being part of that show. I love how much we get to do. I mean, it's a bananas schedule when we shoot.
Because always on location.
Always on location, shooting. You know, we shot 85 roughly sketches, and then Alicia came in and shot another 85. We, you know, they shoot a lot of
yeah.
sketches.
Yeah.
And so you really, you know, you work your tail off when you're on that show, but it is such a pleasure to work on, and it is so, every day is so fun and funny when you're on set with those women. So it's just, you kind of forget about how how stressful it can be, because it's so enjoyable. I mean, I hope to work with them on forevermore, whether it's on that show or on, I'm sure, on the incredible projects that they'll make after Baroness.
As we kind of get close to the end of our conversation, has technology changed the way that you do your job, or has it stayed the same? Like HD, has that had an impact?
I mean, when I first I made my first short on Super 16 film.
Okay.
And I made one other short film on film on 35, and everything else has been on varying levels of HD video.
Okay.
You know, back from when it was looked like crap to now, where it's, you know, the most, you know, gorgeous images ever. So, mm-hmm. I wasn't really there on like the full before HD time. I think it's great. I mean, I think in terms of not necessarily with TV, but with making independent projects, it's amazing. Like, mm-hmm. you can do so much now with accessible technology.
Yeah.
That makes your work just, you know, just takes it to a level that wasn't achievable, you know, not even that long ago, years ago. Like, the first short films I was making on video, like, they look like video.
Right.
And that's fine. It's of a time.
Sure.
But now I think about people making short films, you know, whether they're making them in film school or just like making them with their friends. I'm like, this could look like $1 million, you know, just with the right camera and lenses and some people who know what they're doing. So I think it's very exciting and sort of, you know, just adds to this idea of like, this is just the beginning. Like, there's so many creative, directors and writers and filmmakers in this country who are now getting seen and, getting their work out there in a way that, you know, there's kind of no limit to it.
Yeah, I mean, geez, but you know, if only you'd had like an iPhone 8 and Final Cut on your on your computer portrait when you were making mode. Your shorts.
I wish I had portrait mode when I was making my shorts back then.
So it would seem as though I'm catching you kind of at a rare time off. So have you got some time off before your next project? And if so, what are your upcoming projects that you can talk about?
Yeah, I did. Book January and February off. I think I'm going to try to do that every year as much as possible. Just A, because nothing's happening, and B, because it is a good kind of good time to write, because mm-hmm. you never leave the house.
Yeah.
So at the moment, I'm back in Halifax because my boyfriend is a writer on 22 Minutes, and he's doing a stint here, so I'm back.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, secluded in the apartment, writing
yeah.
a draft of my script, of this new feature that I'm hopefully going to shoot later this year. That is the current plan.
Okay.
And then in March, I'm doing a new TV show called Nurses.
Oh, yes.
I'm pretty excited about.
From folks at Bell Media.
It's the Burden of Truth, Saving Hope, Rookie Blue gang.
Yes.
And I think it's going to be really good. Like, I just saw they sent out a kind of the visual, you know, the sort of lookbook for the show. Mm-hmm. They sent it to all the directors last night, and I'm pretty pumped about it. I love the approach and the references, so I'm excited to dig into that one. But, you know, I will be very relaxed once I get this draft of the script delivered, and I can just kind of shift my brain open to that.
Right on. And do you know how many episodes of Nurses you're going to be directing?
I'm just doing one because I'm doing another show after that. And then I'm hopefully going to roll right into my feature. That's the plan, at least. So knock on some wood.
A big thanks to Jordan Canning for taking the time to chat about her career with me. You can find all of our podcasts at tva.com. Just click the podcast tab at the top or subscribe to the podcast via Apple or Google Play. That wraps up another episode, and now back to your regularly scheduled programming.